resurrected, 120 showed up to the upper room, and they waited. Jesus told them to wait. And in Acts chapter 2, the first four verses, on that day, the Holy Spirit poured out. And he's been pouring out ever since. On that day, Peter, the one who cursed and denied Christ just, 50, 60 days before or so, preached a whopper of a sermon, and 3,000 got saved. How in the world did 3,000 get saved on the day of Pentecost? I'll tell you, because the Holy Spirit came down, filled the early believers, and filled Peter's heart. He had a power he didn't have 50 days earlier. Come on. He was a believer. He knew Christ, but he didn't have the power. You talk about an impossible church that day. They were Jews from all over the world. And there was a little sprinkling of other religions in there. You think those people are going to believe Jesus died at Calvary and raised on the third day and paid the price for their sins in the natural? Say, no way. But something supernatural happened that day, because the power that was in Peter and the power that was speaking through Peter was touching the hearts of unbelievers, and they got under conviction, and Peter began to tell them how to get saved, and 3,000 were saved and baptized in water in the same day. I would love to try that. Would y'all hang around for a baptizing 3,000? Okay, let's pray for it. Deanna and some of the ladies will do all the cooking. We'll have to eat as we go. I don't know if y'all could make it without a meal if we had to baptize 3,000. We might have to even, in this little tank, change the water a few times. I'd like to try it. Wouldn't you? To see 3,000 new believers. What in the world would we do with them? I mean, there's going to be dirty diapers everywhere. They had all these old mindsets and old ways. You know, your heart changes overnight, but your mind is renewed day by day as you walk with Christ. And, I know that some of you were perfect when you got saved. No, you've dirtied a lot of diapers over the years. But thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit. And those folks were baptized with evidence of speaking in tongues. And there's more to the Holy Spirit than speaking in tongues, much more. We've been talking about it. But I tell you what, when you can pray in tongues, you can pray in the will of God all the time. And I challenge you every day in your devotions to pray in tongues. Pray through the day. Man, I'll be in the gym working out on that treadmill. Woo! I don't get loud. And then the church began to bring the people in toward the end of Acts chapter 2. And they began to disciple them and teach them, pull them into worship environments like we had this morning, like we're having this morning. And they were receiving offerings and giving to people that had need. They were teaching the Bible and growing in Christ. They were fishing together on a regular basis. They were having fellowship. They were doing the Lord's communion, but they were also just having fellowship. And they were growing as friends, and they were partnering in ministry. And they got missional enough with each other, they could say, how's your world today? And they could tell each other the truth. And God was moving. And so you talk about multi-generational, multicultural. I mean, you had city folks and country folks. And people from around the world. Some of them were Iraqis. Some of them were Iranians, today's Iran. Some of them were Libyans. Some of them were Egyptians. They were there on the day of Pentecost. I'll tell you what, I don't want to get sidetracked, but if they were there and some of their forefathers were there on the day of Pentecost, I believe Jesus is still and the Holy Spirit's going to move in those Muslim countries again. He already is, but even greater. Whew, I may never get to preach today. So we are a spirit-filled, multi-generational, multicultural Acts 2 church who believes that you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God. And then there's another experience that's distinct and subsequent to the experience of salvation called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you can be refreshed with that baptism over and over and over again. You see it all the way through the book of Acts. But we cannot miss. We got to be careful, Pentecostal church. We have to bring folks in. We have to see them healed up. We have to see them grow up. We have to teach them God's word and God's ways. We call it beliefs and behaviors. This is what we believe. This is what shapes our worldview. We're not going to let the world shape our views. We're going to let God shape our views. We're going to let God shape our views. And then we're going to walk in enough grace and the power of the Holy Spirit to behave what we believe. Can I get a behavior? Amen. That's what we believe. So discipleship is a very key thing in our church and in the early church. You know, that was a pretty good 5-minute message there. So the blessing that comes from the power and the life of the Holy Spirit should never be taken for granted. John 14 and 15 through 18 says this. Jesus said it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells in you and will be in you, with you and will be in you. I will not, and I love this verse, I love this verse. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Aren't you glad that when you get saved, you know the Savior's there all the time? In a way, you do receive the Holy Spirit, but in another way, you welcome him. That may seem like a very simple statement, but sometimes the hindrance in our lives is we're asking and we're waiting to receive, and we need to open our hearts and our minds and welcome him in. He said, if you love me and obey my commands, obedience is one of the keys to opening the door to the fullness of the Holy Spirit. In verse 15, again, it says, if you love me, you obey my commandments. It also said that he's an advocate and not an assistant. John 15 and 26, and I'll read, says, when the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father will testify about me. When certainly the Holy Spirit does help comfort and assist, but sometimes we forget that he's an advocate. That's a big deal, church, and I'm going to hit a few things real quick, and we'll get to the meat of the message. You know, just an assistant helps me with my agenda, but an advocate advocates for me all the time. An advocate, when I'm not having a good day, is still for me and not against me. An advocate, when I'm struggling, is somebody that in our culture right now, the word is somebody that's got my back. When you've got the Holy Spirit in your life, he's got your back. He's there to help, but he's there to advocate for you. He's there to open doors that normally wouldn't open in your life. He's there to advocate and close doors that normally wouldn't close in your life. How many of y'all knocked down a door till you wish you hadn't walked through? He's an advocate. Holy Spirit is an advocate. He's just like Christ. The scripture says he's for you and not against you. Hallelujah. I need an advocate. I need someone that'll stand up for Dale. You know, when we were kids, we used to take up for our friends. You mess with my friend, you mess with me. Guess what? I always had big friends. No, I'm serious. Always got us in trouble. They always got me out of trouble. They advocated for me. I'm not even kidding. It's funny. And I like my college roommate was 6'7". The guy I lived next door to played on the front line for Nebraska in their heydays. He was 6'10", 325. Big Bob got me out of a lot of trouble. He advocated for me. Another, golly, I'm giving you too much history. You know, we kind of fought in school. We not gangbang style, but you got mad, you hit somebody upside the head. And if you always knew you had to hit them first to win the fight. Got to get the first lick in. But I had a guy, Mickey Garrell. If anybody messed with me, Mickey would hit them first. I didn't even have to fight. The Holy Spirit will fight for you. He's fighting for you today. He'll put the enemy under your feet. He'll help you overcome the flesh. And even when you make a mistake, he'll manifest a way in your life that will make you still feel loved. It's okay to feel convicted, but to still know you're loved and accepted by God. That's an advocate. Phew, I'm not going to get through the introduction today. He said in 14:26, said, but when the Father sends the advocate, this is another translation, the NLT, as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit reminds you? Anybody around here ever forget? Let me see your hands. Why is it 45 and over was all the hands that went up and 45 and under? Hey, I could remember things when I was your age. Morgan, I had a photographic memory when I was your age, but now my forgetter has so matured, if I don't write it down, I can't remember anything. But the Holy Spirit reminds us. He reminds us. That's why it's so important to put in the Word of God. Scripture memory is great. Make it a part of your discipline. But just putting Scripture in that you forget. I've read Scripture and I forgot what it said until the Holy Spirit reminded me. So put Scripture in and give the Holy Spirit something to work with. The Scripture says that the letter of the law by itself produces death, but the Spirit gives life. So it's important that the Holy Spirit works with God's Word to make it alive and real and to remind us when we need reminding. Well, I think that's all right. Do you still enjoy conviction when you've made a mistake? I do. All right, I see y'all. Some of you going, well, I don't know if I like it. You know, I'm still, he continues to convict us when we don't behave like we ought to. Without the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I would probably be far, far from the Lord. He roadblock you to the right. He'll roadblock you to the left. The Scripture said in John 16:8 that when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of God's righteousness in the coming judgment. This morning, if you're not saved, you may already feel Jesus touching your heart. It's even possible you could be a little uneasy. But that's the Holy Spirit. He has to convict us of our sin. And the Scripture says that we've all sinned. Romans 3, right? 3:23. That we've all sinned. And so when you begin to feel that conviction, it can be a little uncomfortable. Just let me let you know, that's the Holy Spirit. Because until we're made aware of our sin, we aren't made aware that we need to be saved. So we have to be convicted of our sin before we know we need a Savior. It's not okay with God to sin. And the reason is he loves us and he knows that sin is destructive. It destroys people. So thank God for the conviction. Just the thoughts I'm going to share today. The Holy Spirit working as an advocate gives us, and we talked about the initial physical evidence last week and a little different last week. But this week I want to talk about power, love, and perspective. And when I preached camp meeting a few weeks ago, I preached that power and love always go together. Love and power go together. Power and love go together either way. So I want to talk about power, love, and perspective. Because when you have the Holy Spirit, you will have more power. When you have the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, love, will manifest in your life in a greater way. And when you have the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of the Holy Spirit working in your life, you will have a better perspective. Listen, the Holy Spirit magnifies everything. What do you mean by that? The Holy Spirit magnifies God's word. I'm getting to that. The Holy Spirit gives you a perspective that is bigger than your world. We'll come back to that in a little while. So, first of all, when I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it energizes us with power. Say, look to your neighbor and say, energize me. One guy said, I'll energize you. You know, there are a lot of people, some of you have been anxious about your future at times. Psalm 27 and 1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation, so why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger, so why should I tremble? See, we're all going to go through difficult times. When I'm going through a difficult time, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. When I feel like I'm under attack from the flesh or the enemy or even people, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to realize that He's a fortress around me. Can I get an amen on that? Sometimes we don't think about that. The Holy Spirit baptizes me with power. He puts a fortress around me. Sometimes the scripture says even a ministering angels are helping us out. You can read about that too. But I'm thankful that when the arrows of the enemy and Satan are flying, that I have a fortress called the Holy Spirit around me. There's an old scripture that says, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And when you know that the Holy Spirit has got you, remember the advocate? He's got you. That wasn't my lingo, but that's the 20-something's lingo. He's got you. Then you know everything will be all right. That's power. That's daily power. That's daily power for living. Let's keep hitting it. How does the Holy Spirit speak? Every now and then you will hear an audible voice, but most people in a lifetime will never hear the audible voice of God. Some have. I've had the experience one time, a long time ago. But He'll speak to our inner man. He speaks to our thoughts. He speaks to our minds. When you hear that still, you've heard us teach, it's that still, quiet voice. It's that voice in your mind. How many of you know when God's spoken to you? Right. And there's ways to confirm that through others and always the scripture. But this is so important. When you know you've heard from the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what you're going through. There's something about hearing the voice of God that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Through some of the toughest times of my life over my lifetime, it was when God spoke to me a few simple words that just lifted me right out of the situation. I might have been still walking through the trial, but I heard His voice, and I knew I heard His voice, and it held me and it kept me. It's important to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. As you listen to the Holy Spirit, even in your thoughts, and as you grow in that, you'll be able to discern if it's Dale or it's God. Anybody been there too? Well, maybe this is just me thinking that. Or is this you, Lord, or is this me? Sometimes even when the Holy Spirit in some of my most trying times, He just shows up and says, Dale. Dale, you know my name. God, you know my name. You know my name. It's important that we have the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And many times we hear that in our mind. He speaks direct. And again, that's why it's so important to store God's word in our mind. That's powerful. You know, today, yes, He still works signs. Yes, He still works wonders. Hearing the voice of God's kind of a miracle, isn't it? what I'm trying to tell some of you is you can have a relationship with God. You can ask Christ to come in your heart and be Lord and Savior of your life, and He'll forgive you of your sins, cleanse you, and wash you. But there's more. What I'm trying to tell you is there's more, and you've got to get hungry for more. He's not just going to show up. You've got to be hungry in your heart. 120 showed up, 400 saw Christ resurrected. They wanted more. They waited for the baptism of the Holy Spirit that would give them power in every situation, every circumstance. Yes, they spoke in tongues. Yes, 3,000 got saved, but they were getting ready to be the most persecuted church mankind has ever known, and they walked through it in faith and victory because they had the Holy Spirit and they could hear the voice of God. Some of you are facing decisions this morning. We know what the Bible teaches. Thou shalt not, or thou shalt do this. And that. But which job are you going to take? Which mate are you going to marry? Which turn are you going to take in life? It's important to have the power of the Holy Spirit and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit so that you can live in the perfect will of God. Because then you know. I could teach a whole message on every point. So I love the Holy Spirit. He energizes us with power. And I give you a little different slant on power. He energizes us with power. He enriches us with love. Anybody use a little more love? The ability even to give more? Scripture says love never fails. We'll read it in a minute. But love is a great force in overcoming fear. I think subtly a lot of times we struggle with fear. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy and said, I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But we face fearful situations to some degree on a fairly regular basis. Career changes. Just the list could go on. The final exam. In college, I don't do this anymore, but in college, I put off studying for the final exam to the very last minute. So that's when I learned to drink coffee. I've got some more college graduates back there that are going to me. Yeah, because I don't know what I was afraid of, because you still had to just stay up all night and study, and it increased the fear a little bit. And I always, every final, I always said, next time I'm not going to wait till the last minute. I did. But love looks for opportunities to give. Fear always protects itself. You hear what I'm saying? Love always gives. Lust always takes. And fear is the flesh. Love causes us to move toward people and build bridges toward people instead of withdraw and hide from people. I need more love in my heart, don't you? Love is also a sign of trust. And remember our context. We're talking about the Holy Spirit here. These are some of the things that the Holy Spirit does our life. Fear is a sign of doubt. In fact, fear is the opposite of faith, some would say. In our culture today, love has lost some of its maybe even definition or distinction. And some of the things that we see in our culture isn't love at all. It's lust in many, many ways, but it's not love. And when we bring people into the church, we need to teach them, we need to demonstrate and show them love. One, if you're lost, you're going to hell. You don't have to. You can have Christ and spend eternity in heaven. That's what the scripture says. So then people come in saved. They even get filled with the Holy Spirit, and now they have power to minister to others and overcome themselves. But they haven't been taught how to behave. They haven't been taught how to function in relationships. They have old habits that have to be broken. They want to love as much as they can love, and the Holy Spirit produces love in them, but they don't know what to do with it. Even, oh gosh, there's so much. But, most people coming into our church today, saved and get filled with the Holy Spirit, still don't know how to deal with conflict in their relationships. That's what discipleship's about. We have to teach people what real love looks like. Now we have to teach people that marriage is between one man and one woman. You used to never have to teach that because that's what the Bible says. There's all kinds of things that we have to teach this generation as they come into the church. And I want to teach them, and I may say it two or three more times, that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is love. The Holy Spirit is love. Jesus is love. God the Father is love. If we're full of the Holy Spirit, we'll be gushing and growing and maturing and bearing fruit of love. I want to teach them what love is. I want to show them what love is. That's why honored hospitality is another one of our key core values, is we want anybody, anytime, in this building and when you leave this building, to feel loved, honored, and respected. And I don't care who they are and what they've done, because that's the way Jesus loves. And love and power go together. And you may think you have power and you're a hardcore hardhead, then I question your power unless there's love coming through you. Because it's a fruit, it can grow. It does grow. And there's about four words in the New Testament for love. We've narrowed it down to one word in the Old, but there's one just that's just affectionate love. And it's just so simple. Takes delight in affirming others. Look to your neighbor and say, I really appreciate you. No kissy kissy. I've got young couples wanting to kiss and older couples wanting to kiss, and I'm not going to say who they are, but I'll get you at the door. I mean, I'm just going to say I saw you kissing. I'm not going to kiss you at the door. I got to kiss you at the door, baby. Oh, help me, Lord. I need all the help I can get. Just affirm others. And then there's a friendship, or phileo. It's deep and deeply felt, and there's a togetherness, and there's a sense of joy when you're with your wife or with a friend or a brother and sister in Christ. And then there's the word eros, and that's a romantic type of love that can lead to babies. I mean, you got to want to. We're not going to do a sex education class this morning, but I'm not against it in the church. The Bible has plenty to say about it. And all these work together. And then, of course, there's agape. It's the highest form of love. It always yearns to do what's best for the other person or the other partner or the other friend or the other mate. It is a selfless type of love that seeks the best for others. And of course, we know that agape love found its and finds its fullest expression in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus so loved the world, he gave God the Father loved us so much, he gave his only Son to all of us and all the world and all generations at all times, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That Son, as you well know, paid a price that we couldn't pay, because the wages of sin is death. All have sinned, the wages is death. But Jesus came to take sin on him when he went to Calvary to pay the price to a holy God. We're the ones that should have been condemned, but he was condemned for us. We're the ones that should have paid, but Jesus paid for us. And not just that, we experience forgiveness of sins, but he cleanses it out of our lives. He takes its grip off of our lives. There's a few of you here this morning that not only have sin, but the sin has you. The scripture says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. Jesus will come in and save you and forgive you for eternity, but he will also set you free. And amen. And that's made a reality through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm going to go be with the Father in the latter chapters of John. But we read it today. But I'm going to send a comforter. I'm going to send an advocate. I'm going to send a counselor. I'm going to send somebody. I'm coming as God myself, the Holy Spirit, to be with you so that when you're born again, your heart will change. But so that when you're filled with this power, baptism, yeah, you'll speak in tongues, but everything else will be magnified. There'll be power in your life you didn't have before. Power to overcome. Power over fear. Power in your words. Power in your actions. And the next thing you know, you just start loving everybody. You just love people you didn't love. You love people you don't want to love, but you love them anyway. And it's the power of love. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. What's that old song? Just makes me love everybody. That's the way I feel after worship. You've been in the presence of God. Some of y'all want to be full of the Holy Spirit. You're going to have to learn to press in at worship. That begins to prepare your heart and open the door. I love the love topic. And not only did Jesus display that kind of love, Paul, in writing to the church, urge the church to love that way. 1 Corinthians 13:1-8. You know we got to read it, don't we? If I speak in the tongues of men of angels, so there you go, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give, right there's a prophetic gift, tongues gift. Now here's the gift of giving, sacrificial giving. If I give all the way away all that I have and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. Carry on. It is not irritable or resentful after coffee. No. Didn't say that. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things. Look to your neighbor and say, put up with me, please. We have to do that in the church, too. And we really do. And if you're new to our church, you've come at a good time. There's truly high levels of love and unity, energy, excitement, and the vision is right there. God is doing great things. There's genuine love and sweetness. Still, at times, we have to put up with one another. We just do. Now, I know not any, that never happens in the marriage. But no, in the church, sometimes you just have to put up with me, right? Some not too long ago, somebody said, Pastor, you're using way too much scripture. Well, I love you too. Then not long after that, you know what somebody said. You're not using enough scripture. I just going to put up with you. Love you anyway and preach what God put on my heart. I don't say that. Well, I don't even think that. But sometimes we just have to bear with one another, right? I'm parking here on purpose. That's because that's what love does. Look, dadgummit. You don't have to put up my southern. And I have a mercy gift anyway, but it's just part of who I am. It was before I was saved, actually. high love levels and high mercy levels. So Christ, the Holy Spirit magnified all that, and I had to learn how to grow in that, mature in all of that. But I tell you what keeps me humble, not that I can't get proud and make mistakes just like you. Please don't misunderstand me. But the thing that keeps me humble and keeps me merciful and helps me bear with others is I know that I have flaws just like everybody else. And when somebody sticks their chest up and starts talking down to people, that's never love. Even if they were the ones wrong, because guys, we're not perfect. We're being perfected. We're not complete. We're being completed. And most of us are a little quirky in some way or another. Me too. We talked about all our personalities and skill sets yesterday. How in the world do two people ever survive marriage? Much less you get several hundred people in a church trying to, you know, do something for the King of Kings together with all the personalities and the flaws and the quirks. How in the world? The Holy Spirit. Where was I reading there? And I want to finish with 13 and I'll just read it. Three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Some translations say love never fails. The Holy Spirit has come for power, yes. And we talk a lot about the power, but there's nothing more powerful than the power of love. Love always forgives, always puts others first, always sacrifices, always bears. Love never fails. Anybody remember Gale Sayers back in the day? He was a great football player back in the day. Again, that's for the just, it's a great story. And I can remember in the late 60s, even at the college and professional level, and there, most of the culture, except on the coastal cities in those days, were black and white. You know, that's the term we use. And so, and we still use that. A lot of these teams were coming together for the first time with mixed teams. I remember the Titans. I cry at that movie. I've seen it 10 times. I cry every time because I'm really passionate about all of us being together and loving each other. And Gale Sayers moved in with his roommate, Brian Piccolo. Well, Gale was a black man, and Brian was a white man, a white Italian man he actually was from the Northeast, but he went to a Southeastern school. And get this, Gale had never been around a white man. Brian had never been around a black man. And you know the full story, they were both scared to death. Doesn't that seem strange now? Doesn't that really seem strange in our church? I still don't get it. And I know there's fringes that still have racial issues, but I don't get it. Well, what happened is they begin to be friends, and not only friends, they become best friends. They become great friends. Two years into their friendship, Brian would get cancer. So bad that it took him out of his football career. He couldn't play. Even during the season, during that time, Gale would fly to Brian's home during the week between games to visit the friend he loved so much. Fly back out. At the annual award ceremony for the writers at that time, professional football writers, Gale was going to be given an award for the most courageous football player of the year. The two wives, all the families became very close. Brian had planned on being there to see his friend Gale, which, guys, don't get me started, was breaking every mold. Glory, hallelujah. He couldn't make it. He had to stay at home. And at the end of Gale Sayers' speech, when they gave him the most courageous football player award for the year, he said this, and I quote, "You flatter me by giving me this award, but I say to you here and now, Brian Piccolo is the man of courage who should receive the George S. Hallis Award because he had watched him battle cancer. I hope you can feel the power of it this morning, but can you imagine if you'd have been there in 1969, 2 years after 67 when they met? I love Brian Piccolo, and I'd like all of you to love him too. Tonight, when you're hit your knees, please ask God to love him." That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit manifests in power, and the Holy Spirit manifests in powerful love that not only breaks every chain, it breaks down every wall. That love that breaks down every barrier. That love that breaks down every prejudice. It's the love that breaks it all down in the name of Jesus. And that's what God wants to do in the Rock Church. He wants young and old, millennials and old geezers like me, worshiping together, pulling together and team together. And he wants black and yellow and red and white and brown and every tongue and every nation that will open their hearts to the Holy Spirit in a powerful way and say, "Come in me, Lord. Come in me, Lord. Let me reach out to this multi-generational, multicultural country. Let me love everybody." That's what love does. Aren't you glad he demonstrated his love to us? It enriches us. It gets deep in our spirit. You know, let me take 5 minutes to teach. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5 said, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." Whew. Every scripture is a mouthful, isn't it? How is love fleshed out? "Accept others for who they are, not what you want them to be." Young marrieds especially, and if you haven't figured this out later in your marriage, quit trying to make your spouse like you. You're not like each other completely. You have some likes and dislikes. You have different personalities and different skill sets. You have different backgrounds. I think when I first got married, I wanted to make Darla just like me. Thank God it didn't work. Accept others for who they are. Love shouldn't break down people. Love them anyway when they don't live up to your expectations, your expectations, your expectations. It's easy to love somebody that's just perfect, doing what you think is perfect. Aren't you glad God's love didn't break down when you didn't live up to his expectations? See, if you really grab the scripture, it'll keep you humble. I've had to tell people many, many times over the years, "You're putting demands on people you can't even keep yourself." "Yeah, but I know." I said, "Yeah, I know." "Oh, you're expecting things from them that you can't keep. Love people. Lord, Holy Spirit, come today and touch our hearts so there'd be expansion and a magnification of the power of love in our life. Be patient with people's progress. I know they're not changing as quick as you want them to. Darla's still working on me. That's huge in the church, everybody. It took me a long time to learn it. You teach them, you give them the knowledge, you give them the word. They should be changed overnight. Not. They should be making progress. Give them time. Be patient. The Lord is patient with you, isn't he? Connect with others when they hurt. Scripture says, rejoice with those that rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Boy, there's nothing better for you to show up when there's something hurting, when they're hurting. And something almost as good, though, is when they're celebrating. Show up and celebrate with them, too. There's something powerful when you feel just as happy for them as you would for yourself. Isn't that neat? Isn't that powerful? Desire what's best for others. Love is never about what you can get, but what you give. Not what you take, but what you give. You see this all through Paul's writings to the Philippian church. He said, can I testify of how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ? We need the power of the Holy Spirit to love that way. You know, in and of ourselves, we don't have that capacity. The 1 Corinthians 13, to me, is the most challenging chapter in the book. It's all about love and what love isn't and what love should be. That's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And last, and I can't leave this out, erase all offenses. Some of you are roadblocked in your walk. I'm not challenging your salvation, but you're roadblocked in your walk because you're still angry. And what's interesting, you're angry at people a long time ago, not so long ago. And anger, if you don't let it go and get free from it, will keep finding more people to be angry with. And in fact, there's probably a few of you here this morning that's just angry with people all the time. And it's the anger that's in you. You have to let go. If you live past a year and a half years old, you're going to get hurt in this world. If you live long enough, you will be victimized in this world in some way. Mistreated, lied about, let down, disappointed, hurt. Come on now. Come on. Thought you should have had it better. Thought you should have had it this. But the thing is, for some of us this morning, the anger's got you. Jesus even said that if you don't forgive, he won't forgive. Now, I don't want to go there this morning, but that's pretty stout. Because I need to walk in the forgiveness of God every day. I need his forgiveness every day. Let go. Clara Barton, who was the founder of the American Red Cross, had really got backstabbed by somebody very close to her, a personal close friend, and she was a Christian lady. And a particular person that was in the organization had done her really, really bad. And a few years passed by, and everything in the company and everything in the organization, everything since fine. And somebody said, ask her, because she acted as if the incident had never happened. She acted as if she wasn't hurt any longer. And a lady asked her, said, don't you remember it? And Clara Barton said, no, I distinctly remember forgetting it. Let it go. Some of you need the help of the Holy Spirit this morning to let it go. Because it's got you. I got to go on. But anger will choke the life out of you. Just like alcohol or drugs or anything else. Love erases. Love erases all offenses. Some of us need a power baptism of love. And it magnifies everything. The Holy Spirit magnifies everything because the Holy Spirit's job is to magnify Jesus, to make him real, to make him large, to make him big. in our life. And I only got a few minutes now. Here we go. Hang on. Are you feeling lonely this morning? Have you ever felt? Has anybody in here ever felt lonely? In Hebrews 13:5, it says, "For God has said, I will never fail you and I will never abandon you." See, when you're feeling that, all of a sudden you get a bigger perspective, a magnification that God is still with you. You feeling insecure this morning? The Holy Spirit will remind you that your confidence is not in you. Your confidence is in God. The writers of the Psalms said, "I am always aware of the Lord's presence. He is near and nothing can shake me." And so I'm thankful and glad and I feel completely secure. Everybody say secure. In the Holy Spirit. You ever feel uncertain? Should I go this way? Should I go that way? The Holy Spirit will come and remind us that He's a counselor. He has all the knowledge. He knows which direction to go. Job said, "You watch every step I take and even examine my footprints." Holy Spirit's got you. He's an advocate. He goes before you. He protects you in the rear. He's got you. Somebody say amen. Isaiah 43:2 says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Somebody give me an amen. You feeling discouraged? Are you feeling depressed? The Holy Spirit will remind you, He's a comforter. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to those who are discouraged. He saved those who have lost hope." Golly, He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here to energize us with His power. He's here to enrich us with His love. And He's here to enlighten us with His perspective. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we need a fresh baptism of power, love, and perspective this morning. Power, love, and perspective. Power, love, and perspective. Thank you, Jesus. 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 We need to see things in our lives we haven't seen. We need to love in ways we haven't loved. And we need to walk in powerful ways we haven't walked. And we can't do it on our own, Lord. We don't have the capacity in and of ourselves. But with you, Holy Spirit, as we talk directly to you today, Holy Spirit, all things are possible. All things are possible. Nothing's too difficult for you.